Hey, little skinny lady on the third row, you need to just pipe down.
Security. Security.
Security.
Security.
Okay. All right, let's get started, you guys.
Hey, man.
She's awesome.
Good to go.
Okay, Ryan, I want you to stand here.
Sir?
Before we get started, and say what you have to say. Because I want to hear it. Go ahead. You, you need glasses?
No.
Grab the mic, Ryan.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
There you go. Go ahead.
So beautiful. Let's pray. Lord God, Adonai, Abba, Father, we come before you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, your one and only beloved Son, the only mediator between God and man, the one who can forgive us of all of our sins. Lord, if there is anyone here tonight that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, let tonight's message be used to grant them repentance so that they may receive your wonderful and perfect grace. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us the eyes and the ears to see all of the signs and wonders that you have been giving to us that point to your soon return for your bride, which is our blessed hope. We thank you, God, that we can see. It is truly a gift from you. Lord, we're doing all that we can to wake up those who are still asleep. Yet, Lord, due to their pride and their love of this world, and maybe even their sin, God, they are choosing to not believe. Father, we ask tonight in the mighty name of Jesus that you would give each and every one of those people who do not believe yet a road to Damascus moment. Yes. Let them see you, Lord Jesus. Let them see that you are God, and it is a commandment to us to believe in you and the finished work on the cross. Lord, help them with their unbelief. And we bind any and all spirits that are in the way of their salvation. Lord, we thank you. We bless you. And we ask that you would help us all to live for you, for your glory and yours alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And give me my mic.
And the mic.
All right, praise the Lord. Okay. Well, it's been an interesting couple of weeks. If you're really watching, have you guys really been watching? It's a little too much. So I want to kind of back up. And if you have your notes, you need your notes. These are my notes. If you have your notes, you'll see what I've been talking about for, I guess, about the last month or so. A lot of what I've been talking about, especially on the first picture on this page, it's picture me there with these funny glasses on, and I have above my head, Jonah the dove is the Holy Spirit. Jonah is how you say dove in Hebrew, and the Holy Spirit is representative of the dove. And then we talked about that Jonah's father was Emeti, which means my truth. And the Lord, as I'm sleep and reading about the dove on the ark and the dove being released and then coming back and then being released again and then coming back with the branch, the Lord said the dove represents the Holy Spirit, and I want you to write down everything I'm telling you. Go downstairs and write it down. And I look at the clock. I think it's 4:53 in the morning, I think. So I went downstairs and I started writing down everything the Lord was showing me. And he was showing me that the dove is the Holy Spirit. And when the dove leaves, that means the church is leaving. So before we had talked about this, we talked about the restrainer. There is something that is holding real evil back. Like what you guys see now is moderate evil, okay? But there is something that is holding back real evil, and it's called the restrainer. And the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, okay? The restrainer is in the world, and it says that in Thessalonians, that the restrainer cannot really fully operate. I mean, the evil cannot fully operate until the Holy Spirit leaves the world, okay? Now, where does the Holy Spirit live right now? Inside of us. And if we know, because we're good Bible students, we know that when the Holy Spirit leaves, his whole job was to come here and find a bride for the Son, right? So when he leaves, he's taking the church with him, okay? So the Lord was showing me that this dove is the representation of the Holy Spirit. It will be as it was in the days of Noah. That is the statement that Jesus Christ said. And that is the statement that I received after a 7-day fast, okay? I fasted for 7 days. Now, Lord, I want to know, what do you want to do? What do you want me to do about 2017 and the end of times? And the Lord says one thing to me, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So, as we've been looking at the days of Noah, we've seen that many things have come true. All the way up to the time that the flood was supposed to begin, in the 120th year, all the way to the things that are going on as we're still in the earth right now. And so God was just showing me, like, it is going to be as it was in the days of Noah. And this is where we're at right now, okay? We're at the end of this, what you call ark trip, okay? Or boat trip. It's not a cruise. But we're at the end of this trip, and God has given us some very straightforward signs to let you know that I woke you up, and I showed you what was coming, right? Tonight's message is called Two Down and One to Go Up. Is that where you're at?
Two down and one to go.
Two down and one to go. Did you put the up part? You should have put the up part.
No.
Well, see, you guys did.
You
no, no, you don't have to, huh?
You didn't put it on.
I didn't put it on there?
You did not.
Man.
See,
you're right, I didn't. All right, it's my fault. All right, well, I just thought of it then. Okay, two down and one to go up. So, the two prophecies that the Lord showed me that were about to happen was that, first of all, that we all know that Israel is a month off. Me and God, we know. Because God asked me, if you can show me anywhere in the Bible where it says Adar 2, I'll tell you that Israel has the correct calendar. But if there's no Adar 2 in the Bible, then Israel is doing something that they've thought of doing on their own. And I never add an extra month. I just do the way I set it up. And this is the way it's supposed to happen. So we know that Israel, because they're trying to keep up with the Gregorian calendar, and the Gregorian calendar was created by who?
Satan.
Well, not Satan. Don't call Pope Gregory Satan.
Satan.
Well, Satan. Pope Gregory created the Gregorian calendar. So all the things that you look at on your calendar are dedicated to demonic spirits, okay? Tuesday is the name of a demonic spirit. Thursday is the name of a demonic spirit. Phrygia, Friday, is the name of a goddess. You know what I mean? January, Janus, is a two-headed bisexual goddess that they worship. So every month is named after a demonic spirit, and every day is named after a demonic spirit. But this is the calendar that we keep, and this is the calendar that Israel is trying to make sure they stay in line with, so their feast days don't get out of whack, okay? But they only have to do one thing, and that's obey God. After the first moon, then start the new month. If it's the equinox, wait till the first moon after the equinox. That's all they have to do, and they would never be off time. But they're trying to keep up with what the world is doing. So, since I knew Israel was a month off, I knew that the 9th of Av was not in July. I knew that the 9th of Av would be August 16th and 17th. And so, since I knew that, I said, well, here, let's read Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. Now, I want you to listen to the first prophecy, because the first prophecy has to happen. What's the first prophecy? In Genesis chapter 6, he tells Noah, in 120 years, the flood is going to begin. So in the 120th year, the flood is going to begin. So who's counting the 120 years? God. And he gives the prophecy to Noah when he's 480 years old. When it comes to his 600th year, Noah knows that the flood is about to begin. So it's the 120th year. Now, God did a wonderful thing for us, is that he counted 120 years off, because Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. So God did the same thing for us. He started counting. And how do we know that he started counting? Because the book of Psalms is a direct prophecy year by year of every event that's going to happen for 120 years. When it gets to Psalms 120, what is the prophecy? Lord, hatzilanu, or deliver us from what? Lies. Are they still lying to us?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So, the flood, now, since the flood was worldwide in the days of Noah, that means when we got to our 120 years, it couldn't be something that went on in America. It couldn't be something that went on in Africa or Europe. It had to be a worldwide trouble that engulfed the whole world, right? So in the 120th year, we had the pandemic, right? Everything has to close. There are a million people dying every day. That, you know, they have no, you know, no caution in the lies. The one state said, we're getting 6,000 new cases a day. I was like, that is crazy. Imagine you're living in a state and 6,000 people are getting COVID every day. But they don't care what they say. It's to promote fear in you, right? So we're living under this lie. And what God is showing us is it started in the 120th year. Here's your worldwide flood. Is going to continue. It's not going to go back to normal, okay? The craziest thing for anyone to do is during the time of Noah, when it starts raining, for somebody to go, well, it should stop raining any day now. And if you think the pandemic is going to stop any day now and everything's going to get back to normal any day, you're just as crazy as somebody when the flood starts, standing around the ark going, well, it should stop any day now. Well, it's been 40 days. It should stop any day now. Well, the water should start. It's not going back to normal. I want you to know that, okay? So what the world is in is that you're in this judgment, but the people of God are being protected. Somebody posted a thing that they were shooting Christians in Afghanistan, but they're not. But they took a picture from 2 years ago and posted it, so it looks like Christians are being shot in Afghanistan. But it's not, that because there's a British organization that took Christians out of the country before it happened. Okay? So people are, but when they post evil stuff, they're really trying to promote fear. Like, look, God can't even take care of his own people. Look what's happening, you know? And I'm not saying that persecution doesn't happen, but I'm saying, look, God is always thinking about protecting his people. And while we're here, we're on the ark. We're not out of the water. We're on the ark. The trouble is still in the world, you're on the ark. But don't think that things are going to go back to normal, because if you think that things are going to go back to normal, you're missing the prophecy. Okay? All right. So are we in Genesis chapter 8? Okay. And it said, but God remembered Noah. Okay, they're on the boat. The flood has started, and God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now, the spring of deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky, and the water receded steadily from the earth. The end of 150 days, the water had gone down on the 17th day of the seventh month, and the ark rested on Mount Ararat, okay? So after 150 days, the ark comes to a rest on Mount Ararat on the 17th day of the seventh month, which is the exact day that Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. So God knows. Now, what does Ararat mean?
Reverse the curse.
Reverse the curse. So God is saying, even in the flood day, when the boat comes to a rest on Mount Ararat, it's going to be the day where I'm going to reverse the curse in the earth. And that's the day that Jesus Christ is going to resurrect from the grave. Okay? So God is counting these days because he's marking out time. Okay? Now, it says the water continued to recede until the 10th month. That means it was still there. It was the 17th day of the seventh month. And then it said it was still there till the 10th month. So the 8th month and the 9th month went by. That's two 30-day months. And then it said they could see continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the top of the mountains became visible. Okay? And it says, after 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven. Okay? So, this day that he's sending out the raven, it's hard to explain it to you because if you don't understand Hebrew. But he sends the raven out. He says 40 days later, so on the 1st. And so 40 days later, on the 9th, 10th of Av, he sends out a raven. Okay? Why would he send out a raven? You understand? What is the if you're sending out a raven, ravens are looking for dead bodies to eat. Okay? So it said the raven, he sent the raven out, and the raven went out and it flew around going back and forth, but it never came back to the ark. Why didn't it come back to the ark? It had plenty to eat. It's flying through the earth because it's looking for death. That's what it's looking for. So I'm seeing that this raven, the Lord is telling me at 450, the raven is representing evil. This is what's to happen on the 16th and 17th. Evil is going to be released throughout the world. And it's going to get worse and worse till the end. So we're looking at more trouble and more trouble until the end. Now stay joyful, because the church, remember, has to leave. Okay? Now, the raven leaves and it doesn't return. Then it says, then he said, and he also sent out a dove. So the same time he sent out the raven, he sent out a dove. To see the waters had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find no place to set its feet because there was water all over the surface of the earth. So he returned to Noah in the ark. Let me see if it says that. So it returned to Noah in the ark, and he reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. Okay, so the dove returns, and now he knows that there's still water over the earth, so it's not time to come out of the ark. Okay, Now, watch this as we go on. He says he waited 7 more days. He's already sent the raven out. The raven hasn't returned. The dove returned, but now he waits 7 more days. And again sent out the dove from the ark, and the dove returned in the evening. So he must have sent it out in the daytime, and the dove came back in the evening. And what does it say? And it says, came back with a freshly plucked olive leaf. Okay? So he has an olive leaf in his mouth. The olive represents Israel. So now the Lord is saying, after the evil is released upon the earth, after that, then something is going to happen with Israel. And it's going to be big news. So you're going to know that these things are going to happen 7 days apart, okay? So, after the leaf, he says this. Wait, let's see. He said, he waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again. Now the dove comes back with the leaf, but so he waits another 7 days and he sends the dove out again, but this time it did not return. And I have the nun there, and it says, and I think the nun is for life. But I wrote it there a long time ago. I don't know why I put it there. But so now the dove leaves and it doesn't return. When the Holy Spirit leaves, it's not coming back. You understand that? When we come back, we're coming back as resurrected beings with the Spirit of God, as sons of God. The Holy Spirit has done his job. So when he leaves, he's not coming back. So the Lord is like, this is the church exiting and not returning. And it's not going to exit by itself. It's taking the bride with him, because the job of the Holy Spirit is to do what? Find a bride for the groom, for Christ. Because Christ didn't die on the cross for no reason. Christ died to have a bride. He paid a bridal fee for his bride. And it was not cash money. He says he gave blood, you're more precious than silver and gold. He gave his blood to purchase the bride. And he knows this. So we've been purchased, and God sent the Holy Spirit into the world, just as he sent Eleazar in Genesis chapter 29. Go and find my son a bride and bring her back here. What if I can't bring her back here? Should I take your son there? Don't take my son back there. You bring her here. So we know that the bride has to leave and go there. Okay? Now, why do I call this message 2 down and 1 to go? Because on the 16th and 17th, first of all, on the 5th of August, I'm studying, and God says, look at the National Monument. I mean, the Washington Monument. I want you to look at that, right? So I'm just looking at pictures of it. And somebody took a picture of the National Monument from the overhead view, okay? I had that picture as well. From the overhead view. From the overhead view, looking at the National Monument, it's an all-seeing eye. It's the eye of Lucifer. So I'm like, wow, I never knew that that was there. Why did they make that the symbol of the all-seeing eye? Now, I know a lot about the Washington Monument. I know that it's built on a structure of 666, and the Freemasons built it to honor Lucifer. And you have to know also that it is not an American symbol. It's a phallus from Egypt and from Babylon, right? So this thing does not represent anything. It represents Egypt and a phallus, and we ain't gonna get into all that, but I'm telling you, it doesn't represent God. It's set on 666. So God wanted me to show you, August 5th, I'm showing everybody, this is the Washington Monument. God did not tell me, because I'm going to strike it on the 9th of Av. He didn't tell me that. But when we went to Arizona, I wake up and I'm looking at the news, and the Washington Monument is struck, not on the side, directly on the top. Kills all the electrical circuits in it. They have to shut the whole thing down. And I'm like, the Washington Monument, that place that I showed them that has 666 on it, just got struck by lightning, right? I mean, that's some point accuracy from God, okay? And so it hits it, and then I'm not thinking about it. But when the 9th of Av, August 16th and 17th comes, and it gets struck by lightning, I'm like, oh my goodness. Then later on that day, this is the day I said, the 16th and 17th, the Raven's gonna be released. I'm looking on TV, and Afghanistan, everybody's in the street, and everybody's trying to get to the airport, and everybody's trying to get their money out of the bank, and everybody's running crazy. People are jumping onto planes to try to get out of the country. The plane took off. The guy's still holding onto the plane. He falls from the plane. They don't want to be under Taliban rule because they understand the Taliban. So understand this. All this havoc is going on over there right now, okay? And the world is looking at the United States like, you guys are wimps. How did you let this happen? First you take all their oil, and then now you leave the country completely messed up, and then you just leave, and you left all this armory and all this. You left tanks and guns and machine guns and all kinds of stuff they left for the Taliban to have. Like, so now the terrorists are like, and we got a lot of new toys, right? Crazy. So here we are, the Raven has been released, okay? Since the Raven's been released, Russia and Iran with China has had a military exercise together. They're practicing for something. So remember, Satan is not after Afghanistan, Satan is after Israel. Yeah. Russia and Iran are stationed in Syria with military bases. Remember, after the church leaves, they're gonna attack Israel, okay? So now we're watching this whole thing being set up. Two have happened. What two would we say? We said on the 16th and 17th, the Raven's gonna get released. Okay? The monument gets struck, Taliban takes over, chaos. That's the Raven, struck. Okay, that's fine, but let's see if anything happens on the 24th and 25th. I mean, on the 23rd and 24th, because that will be 1 week after the release of the Raven. So what happened? The border crossing, you on the next page? They have a riot at the border of Israel. Thousands of young people are throwing rocks over the wall. They're sending fire. See these balloons? They set fire. They put a fire thing on the end of the balloon. Then they push it over the wall. And then when it lands on the other side, it catches fire and it burns up all of the land. So they were doing this and throwing rocks and stuff over the wall. And the military's trying to get them away from the wall. And what? Huh? No, this is the wall that separates Gaza from the rest of Israel, okay? So they're all at the wall, they're riding, they're throwing rocks, and one of the Palestinians puts a gun that he has through the middle of the wall, through a hole in the wall, and shoots one of the Israeli officers in the head. And he's still alive. And so all of this is going on in Israel on what day? Exactly 7 days after the Raven was released. Now, 7 days later, I said, what? The olive branch represents something's going to happen in Israel. So the Lord, exactly what the Lord said, go write it down. Why did he tell me to write it down? Because I'm going to show you it's going to happen exactly the way I said. So I wrote it down, and then the very next we get the riot at the wall, then the IAF strikes Hamas over Gaza border, attacks Israel. Israel strikes Hamas. Israel, Hamas headed for war. This is all on the 23rd and 24th, because remember, it's 7 days after the raven. So it happened exactly the way the Lord said it was going to happen. So now 7 days later, what else happens? The raven leaves again. And this time when the raven leaves, I mean, not the raven leaves again, the dove leaves again, and this time the dove doesn't come back. It's gone. And Noah knows now that the trouble is over with, okay? That everything, that the water is dried up and is ready, and it's now it's time. I want to read you something that was very interesting. Doves descend from the ark, and it says by the 23rd day. Okay, verse 13. It says in chapter 8, verse 13, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, that would be 2021. Remember, it started in 2020, right? The waters had dried up from the earth, and Noah recovering from the ark and saw the surface of the ground. And it says, by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. So now when he says dry, it doesn't use the word yevesh in Hebrew. It doesn't mean the ground is dry. It's a word that is, I think it's chavar, and it means it was filled with destruction. It was desolate and destroyed. So they could see the destruction that the flood had caused, okay? But now the church is gone, okay? What happens after the church is gone? What's gonna happen? What does Thessalonians tell us? Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 2. Huh? That's right. Because remember, he can't come until when? Till the church leaves. You know what the rapture is, right? Okay? Two will be in one place, two people will be in one place, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the word arambano, as a friend or companion of God, the other one left, meaning divorced from God. So we're living in the last days, we're living in this time that you know, and I know, that this is the craziest time ever in the history of time, that we've ever seen. I mean, the whole mask, and they won't even advertise one person getting sick or dying from this thing. They won't be on TV, they won't mention it, but Drea had a friend just that last week, had to get her legs amputated because she took the vaccine and it caused blood clots. And they told her, well, the only thing we could do is amputate the legs. So, and that happened to her because she decided that she wanted to do the right thing and get the shot. So they're not gonna advertise that to you. They're not gonna advertise what's really going on to you. So they're just gonna say, and we got a third booster shot for you, because some of you who already took the additional shots are still getting sick. So we got a third booster shot for you. Because what does Psalm 20 say? It's the 120th year, 2020. Father, deliver us from lies. You're being lied to, but the whole world, nobody understands that they're being lied to. They're just trying to get through day-to-day life. And they're watching TV. So what the TV says is what they know. And so their reality is what the TV tells them, all right? So you can't tell them, hey, you're living in the last days. This is the last days. You need to be prepared. You need to be in Christ. You need to be ready to go. We don't tell them. We can't tell them that because they're thinking we're nuts. Mm-hmm. You're as crazy as a man building a boat in the middle of the desert talking about his water's going to come out of the sky. And it had never rained before Noah, right? So imagine how crazy he sound as you saying, oh, there's going to be two people in one place. One's going to leave and the other one's going to stay. You sound just as crazy as Noah. So, but it's going to happen. And when it happens, the whole world is going to recognize, because I love the Apocrypha. It says the whole world's going to hear. The Apocrypha says everybody's going to hear it and be in fear, wondering what happened, but they'll know that people left. The whole world will hear it. And when we leave, they're going to give you many lies, and they're going to put it on every TV station. And guess what? You're going to believe it. They could say all of the bad people were taken by the aliens, and this whole thing was started by, you know, Kermit from Sesame Street, and they could tell you anything. You're going to believe it. You know why? It's on ABC, CBN, NBC, all day, and you're all sitting there like this. Why, I never knew Kermit was a terrorist. You will believe it because television controls our lives. And so since nobody's watching and praying what God told them to do, and everybody's watching TV, you don't know. So here I am. I'm trying to tell you, you're living in the last day. Two of the prophecies God gave me came true exactly as he said. The third one is the dove leaving for good. So now I'm waiting what's going to happen on the 31st, on the 30th, 31st, and the 1st. Because I forget this one day that the dove went out in the morning and it came back in the evening. Then 7 days later. So I'm forgetting that one day. So I'm looking at the 30th, 31st, or the 1st, something going on, right? Do I know the day or the hour? No. But I'm telling you, I'm watching and I'm praying and I'm doing what Jesus says. Okay. I want us to go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I want you guys to know that I was called to do this. It was a very weird morning. Not weird, but it was imprinted on my heart forever. When God said, this is what I want you to do, and it's going to be hard. I want you to preach end time prophecies, prepare my people to leave. Okay? So, prepare my people to leave meant there's going to be a rapture. Your job is to tell them to be ready to go. Okay? So, on that day, January 1st, 2003, that the Lord told me that, this is the ministry that I want you to do. And so my whole thing has been preaching and getting people ready to leave, because I know the church ain't ready. Because I know people do Sunday church. And then the rest of the week they sin. It's like, Sunday, I'm going to listen to all the gospel and Jesus, I'm praising my name. And then the rest of the week they listen to Snoop Dogg and crazy this and little boy that and whatever, right? And then they come back on Sunday and they like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And then the rest of the week they go do their thing, drink a few beers. And then they come back to church and they praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And God knows this goes on. He says they're not ready. They're lukewarm. Because God expects what? What if you were in a relationship and the person you were in a relationship only loved you one day of the week? And then the rest of the week, they were with anybody they wanted to, and they did whatever they felt like it. They didn't call you or nothing. And then they came back the next weekend on Sunday and went, I love you. You guys, I ain't seen you all week. What are you doing? So you got to understand God, what God expects and what people were giving him were two different things, and that was God, what God was showing me. Either you're in a relationship with God or you're not. We can't have a one-day relationship. Okay. I went too far. Let's go. Go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're in verse 36, and it says, nobody knows about the day or the hour. Okay? Not even the angels, but only the Father. If your Bible says, nor the Son in Matthew, it does not say nor the Son. Anyway, Jesus is the Father, so Jesus knows. Jesus is the Father. We can do another Bible study on that some other day. But Jesus is the one who said, they told him, hey, show us the Father, Jesus. Do us a favor. Show us the Father, and that will suffice us. And Jesus says, haven't I been with you long enough that you don't know me? Don't you know when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Okay, argument done. So that means the Father knows. If only the Father knows, Jesus knows too, right? Okay. So now it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. That's verse 37. Now, we have how many Gospels? Four. Only two Gospels make this statement. What statement? This statement, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And that's Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Now, it only appears one other time, and that's in Luke chapter 17, verse 26. You see that? So it appears twice. Now, if we take off these dots and we say minus 1726 from 2437, you would come up with 711. What does Genesis chapter 7, verse 11 say? And on the 600th day, the flood began and the waters burst open. So both verses that says it will be as it was in the days of Noah, when you subtract one from the other, you come up with Genesis where the flood actually began. So it's like God does these types of things with scriptures because it's like I'm showing you that I'm in the middle of writing this book, okay? And so here we are. Now, I'll tell you something about this. See this number right here, 1726? That's the numerical value of the restrainer in Thessalonians. That's the numerical value of the restrainer that's holding back evil. So God put these numbers together. So I'm telling you, I'm in full control. I wrote the book. Just what I told you was going to happen in the 120th year is happening. It's right in front of your face. And I get so tired of these people lying. Guys on the TV the other day. Oh, these people with their conspiracy theories. I mean, just because the vaccine is 060606, they think it has something to do with the Bible. It's only, 666-0606, that's not 666.
Ooh, really?
The guy's on TV saying this. Okay. And just because one of the ingredients in the vaccine is luciferase, is what? That would be like, back up. If I was the guy interviewing, I'd be like, is what? Back up, what'd you say? Oh, one of the ingredients is luciferase. You mean Lucifer? Yeah. And it's 0606. But it has nothing to do with biblical times. I tell you, these people and their conspiracy theories. Exactly. See, I made him laugh. Now look. Your job is to read the word and stay in line with what God is doing. So we know what's going on and it's right in front of your face. But I realize if people lie to you long enough, it can become your truth. Mm-hmm. You'll think you're doing the right thing by going out and doing what they want you to do. Okay. Let me get to my third page. Okay. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. How much time I got, Pastor?
15 minutes.
Oh, that's, wow. That's a beautiful thing. Okay. Okay. You're in 2 Thessalonians? You're in chapter 2? Okay, now listen. Eve's in the garden. Her husband told her, look, don't eat from that tree, because God said if we eat from that tree, we're going to die. What did Satan say? Did God really say that? Did God really say that if you eat from that tree, you will die? Girl, you will surely not die. In fact, God knows that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will become Ki Elohim, just like God. The first word in Hebrew in the Bible that the numerical value is 666. That's the first word that equals 666 in the Bible. Ki Elohim, you'll be like God. He's telling her. And she saw the fruit and she ate it, okay? Listen, Satan is a liar.
Yep.
He's lied to the world from the beginning. The only thing that you cannot talk about in church without getting somebody's feathers ruffled is the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can talk about the love of Jesus. You can even talk about sin. You can talk about, I think hell is real. They might go, oh, don't talk about it. But they'll let you talk about it because it doesn't bother them. But try to talk to a Christian about the coming rapture. So why has Satan made this a taboo subject? Because if I tell you where the door is, you might escape. You understand? I'm trying to keep you trapped. So the taboo thing is, I want this to be a taboo subject in the church because I don't want people talking about it. Two people being in one place, one being taken and the other one left, that means people will stay alert. That means people will know that a day is coming that they don't know, and they'd have to be assured and ready that this day is about to come, and I would have to make sure I'm in line with God and not playing around with sin. I would have to know that. But if I tell you, oh, once you're saved, you're always saved. And I said something funny last week. I was cracking myself up. I said, how do you say, once you're on the ark, you're always on the ark, and you out swimming in the water? You know what I mean? No, you're not on the ark. You're in the water. Get out of the water. There's sharks in there, right?
Right.
So once you're saved, you're not always saved. Once you're on the ark, stay on the ark, right? So Satan has this where it's taboo to us. We're not allowed to talk about it. Anything else, but don't talk about the rapture. But it's coming. And it's the most important day on God's calendar because it's his son's wedding.
Yes.
Okay? So here we are. We're in 2 Thessalonians. Mm-hmm. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. We ask you, brethren, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed as some prophecy reports or letters supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Somebody was lying already, right? Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until a departure occurs. You understand that? Now, I've talked to my Greek friend, and I told him, if you ever in California, I want you to come to my church and explain to them that apostasy has nothing to do with religion. It just means to depart. It just means to leave. And so what he's saying here is, look, it's not apostasy. And some of the Bible said, go as far as to say this, for the day will not come until a rebellion. Apostasy has nothing to do with rebellion. What does some of your Bible say? Until what day? It says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. That's what this Bible says. But it's apostasy. It's a departure. Okay? So a departure has to occur. Okay? It says, until the departure occurs, And the son of lawlessness is revealed. So a departure has to occur, and then the son of lawlessness will be revealed. So after we depart, the son of lawlessness is coming. The Antichrist is coming. Okay? Now listen to this. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So he's going to go to the temple in Israel and sit and proclaim himself to be God. That means somebody's going to build a temple. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? Now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who is holding him back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. Who's holding him back? The Holy Spirit, the restrainer. What's the Holy Spirit's job? Go to earth, find my son a bride. When you find a bride, leave there, bring her back here. You've got to leave before the Antichrist can even come. You understand? He says, for the secret of the lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to burn him up when he comes back and destroy the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kind of counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. So the day is coming when the church leaves, the Antichrist is revealed, the world is looking at evil face to face. They don't understand why they're still here. Because some of them are going, I went to church, I believed in Jesus. But what does the scripture say? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but them who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Okay, so you saying it is not your confirmation. You living it is your confirmation. Okay, and so we don't want to be, because there are three people that get left. They're lukewarm people, which the Bible says you're lukewarm because you're a Christian this day, and this day you're not a Christian. You're a Christian this day. That day you're not. And you don't even repent about it. You just think that God is okay with it. Okay? Now, if you sin and you repent, God forgives you and you're back in right standing. But if you, like, you're trying to mock God and say, I can sin and God won't even find out. Watch. I'm going to hide in the closet and do it, right? It's like you have this stupidity that as long as you haven't got caught, you're okay. And God is like, wherever you go, I go. So you never get away with anything, right? So God knows what you're doing. And that person's lukewarm because he's living halfway in the world and he's living halfway not. Then it says there's another person that doesn't make it, and it's because they don't have enough oil in their lamp, or they don't have any oil in their lamp when he comes. Now, I'm going to explain this because it's easy to have oil in your lamp, because how do you keep oil in your lamp is by keeping yourself on fire for God. Understand? If I have oil in my lamp, see, all the lamps burn by oil. If I have oil in my lamp, my fire is always going to be lit, right? So if you don't have any oil in your lamp, your fire's not going to be lit. And God's going to know you're not in love anymore. You understand? It's because there's no fire for me inside of you. And he says in the Old Testament, every priest must have a perpetual fire burning in the temple. The temple had to have a perpetual fire. It had to be lit all year round. That fire had to be lit. If the high priest went in there and found that the priest fell asleep and let the fire go out, they would set the priest on fire. So that means keeping the fire lit is very important. So you don't become nakedly exposed, because if you set me on fire, I'm taking off the clothes. You understand? So that's why the scripture says that, because of the tradition of finding a priest who's fallen asleep and let the fire go out. So we're responsible. How do you keep the fire? I'm reading my word. I'm fellowshipping with other Christians. I'm not listening to Snoop Dogg. I think I'd rather listen to some gospel music. I'm not listening to the craziness. I'd rather listen to some gospel music. So I'm reading my word. I'm praying. My conversation. I'm keeping oil in my lamp so that I'm not just saying I'm a Christian and people don't have to guess. They know I'm a Christian by my lifestyle. You understand? I remember getting in a car with someone who was a Christian, and we had a girl, and she wasn't a Christian, and we were going to lunch. And the guy who was a Christian, me and him, were talking about the Bible, and he puts on some crazy music. It's all kind of words, bad words coming out. And so I didn't say nothing. I said, man, if you play that type of music, how are we ever going to listen? How are we ever going to witness to her? How are we ever going to tell her about Jesus? If you listen to the same stuff that she listens to, how are we ever going to witness to her? Because we look the same. And so keeping oil in your lamp means that you're constantly feeding into your Christianity, into your Christian life, the word of God, praying, all of these things. If a person doesn't have any oil in his lamp, God knows. And it says, when he came, they said, Father, take us too. And he says, I'm sorry, I couldn't see you, because they come in the night and they didn't have any lamp. So he said, I couldn't perceive where you were because your light was out. And so we're responsible to keep the light burning. You understand? It's a continual relationship. That's a simple thing. That's in every relationship, right? It's not hard. That's a continuous thing.
Man.
The third one is, you don't have the garment on that God gave you, which is the Holy Spirit. Because you have to ignore God for a long time for him to take his spirit back. That means you have to be in sin. Say, somebody convince you that you don't have to repent anymore. You know, you've got to have this garment on. You've been clothed in the Holy Spirit. The last chapter of Luke says you've been clothed with the Holy Spirit. So we have to live this thing. The day is going to come when every person who says once saved, always saved, and is living in sin is going to go, it wasn't true. Because it's not a biblical truth. We're all in a relationship. We all know what it is to be in a relationship. We're all human beings. We all know when we've offended someone. We all know when we need to say we're sorry. We all know that we're supposed to be in a relationship with God, right? So it's not a hard thing. So we don't try to trick God and go, well, I didn't know it meant all that. Come on. You know what I mean? Don't play me. So the day is coming. God gave me two prophecies. He gave me two prophecies. On the 16th and 17th, the raven's going to be released. It's going to be trouble throughout in the world. It's going to be something that's going to be evil, and it's coming into the world. It's the raven, and it's going to happen on the 16th, 17th, and 9th of Av. And it happened. Then he says, 7 days after that, something's going to happen in Israel because the olive leaf is gone. So that's going to happen on the 23rd and 24th. And it happened. And I'm like, Lord, there's only one more thing you told me. What's that? The dove's going to leave and not return. And I'm praying that each and every one of us is with the dove when he leaves. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Bible study tomorrow.
Litriot machar. I don't care.
RMBC tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.